ELC Radio.
Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Tina Lamone.
Myself looking into the mirror, knew I wasn't who I wanted to be. I was living life the way that I wanted, but my eyes reminded me I'm not free. Believe the lies, so everything that I know says I gotta go, tired of going solo. But I'm never gonna go there again. This is what it is, this is who I am, this is where I finally take my stand. I didn't wanna fall, but I don't have to go. I'm not the one with two star hands, giving him the best of everything that's left of the life inside this man. I've been born again. I've been born again.
What it means to love God and love others. So this morning I want to talk to you about being born again and what that really means to be born again. Lord, we just thank you, Father. We thank you for your word that is living, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, that divides the soul from the spirit, Father. We thank you for the power that is in your word. We thank you for your presence in this place. In this building with us this morning. Lord, Holy Spirit, we invite you to be with us to help us to understand, to read your word, to be filled with your power, Lord God. We thank you for the power of revelation, Lord God, for wisdom. Your word tells us that we lack wisdom that we can have, and that you can give it to us freely and liberally without finding fault, without making us feel restless or stupid or dumb. God, I thank you that you are full of good gifts. You are full of good gifts. It brings you pleasure to see us enjoying life. God, I thank you for your love. But your love towards us abounds. But it increases more and more. God, even after you go by, we forget to choose you first. We forget to love you first, God, because you still love us. You still respond when we cry out to you. So, God, this morning we thank you, we love you. We honor you. We thank you for being here. And we thank you for being here. In John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, we see Nicodemus come to Jesus and say, what is this? Jesus says you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. Now that word born again, that's a word that we use in the Christian life, right? We identify with that term, with that word. We say to people, you know, usually we will say, I'm a born again believer, I'm a born again Christian. It identifies who we are. And most of the time when you think about that term and that word being born again, someone who confesses Christ, right? How many would show us to percent? I am a born again believer, and I believe in Jesus Christ, and that he is my friend, and that he died for me, for my sins. But the context in this chapter where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, I want to give you the definition and what Jesus really meant when he said that he must be born again. So much more than just confessing Christ. From just saying, I confess Jesus Christ and I'm a born again believer. So, here in the scripture, when Jesus says you must be born again, the meaning of that is to continue to become. To continue to become again and again. And what is it that we're continuing to become? We are continuing to become cleansed by the purifying and the cleansing breath of God. So when Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again to experience, to live, and to see the kingdom of God, he was telling Nicodemus, you must again and again and continue to be cleansed by the water, by the word, by the cleansing breath and the purifying breath of God. Again and again. So here, Jesus is telling Nicodemus that he must be born again. Nicodemus has a problem with understanding because he says, I'm already born. I'm a grown man. How do I become born again? How is this possible? So Jesus is introducing this idea. This is the idea that he's introducing. That yes, you've been born once, but there's a second birth. So Jesus is telling Nicodemus, no, you have to be born again. There's a second birth. So us as believers, to see the kingdom of God, to live in the kingdom of God, we need to understand and live in the reality of that we have to be born. There's a first birth, your flesh birth, right? We've all been experienced the first birth, we're all here. You were in your mother's womb, you came into the air from your mother's womb, we all have the first birth. Now, Jesus is telling you to believe that you must be born again. There's a second birth. In verse 5, a little bit further down, Jesus says, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. So the first birth we have that we come in, he says that flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. So our first birth is the birth of the flesh, the first birth. And Jesus says the second birth is of the spirit. It is that breath of God that continuing again and again, receiving the company and purifying breath of God in our lives is the second birth. So you can all agree with me this morning that we have two births. As Christians, as believers, born again means that we are again and again continuing to be cleansed by the breath of God. This is a theme in Scripture. And what you will find as you read the Word, that when there's something important, when there's a principle or a truth being released, then God will repeat it. Right? He will repeat it in Scripture. So I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures here to show you that this is a theme that continues in the Word. That God uses different people to say the same thing, sometimes in different words, that mean the same. So Jesus says you must be born again to experience the kingdom of God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The old is the first birth. The new creation is the second birth. Okay, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by your sinful desires. That's the first birth. You were taught to put off the first birth. You were taught with regard to your old life to put it off. Why? Because it's corruptible. It corrupts you. You were taught to be made new in the kindness of your mind and to put on the new self, the second birth, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So we were created to be like God. Say that with me. So I am created to be like God. We are created to be like God. So that gives us this picture of what Jesus was talking about. That we have to let go of our first birth. And we have to move into our second birth and identify and live in that second birth. Our former way of life corrupt, a new life. So in order to be like God, we have to continue to become again and again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable through the living and enduring word of God." So thank you for this today. It's repeated in Scripture over and over again. Born again, transformed, renewed, new life, new creation. That's what it means to be born again. It's not a one-time experience that makes us Christ, Christ that makes us born again. This is a again and again, continual process of being purified and cleansed by the breath of God. Have you guys ever been driving down the road and you put your blinker on, it's raining, and you start to speed up a little bit, and the car next to you speeds up instead of like slows down a little bit to give you room to get in? That makes you mad. You know, that happens to me. And most of the time, my kids are in the car with me when it happens. And what comes out of me when that happens? You're not like, "Oh, I have lost it." If you are, then you got this. You can go because you don't need to hear my message. What comes out of me is the deepest in you and what that makes wrong with you. And I promise you that when I say it, in those moments, I don't say it as nicely as, "Oh my God." We tell them my voice changes and the volume increases. And I'm calling somebody that I don't know these names. And the way I always feel so convicted, and I'm just like, "Okay, why would that come out of me?" Especially when my kids in the car to hear me say that, and I'm just like, I thought I was better than that. I thought that life was gone. And it just popped right back up without, like, so easy. You know what else that reminds me of over time? About 10 years ago, when we first moved to Sacramento, it was the 4th of July, and so we were with a group of people, a lot of the group was with some of the people in this room, and so I'm not going to name names just to protect your reputation. But so it was 4th of July, and we had these legal fireworks. And about 10 years ago, it wasn't like it is now, where everybody has legal fireworks and stuff, and they're just throwing them all off, and it was a big deal. It wasn't like that. It was still like a super big deal if you had legal fireworks. And so someone in our group had legal fireworks, and we were like, we got the good ones. But nobody wanted to see them off in their own house. So we were like, "Okay, well, we're going to get together, we're going to celebrate, we're going to do the barbecue, and then we're going to leave and buy steel parts so we don't get fireworks." It was illegal. So we were doing our homes doing it. And so we had all the kids with us. This was like 10 years ago. Little Charlie, she was little. And we get to the first park and we start to see the fireworks, and it's like, "It's so cool," the kids are all excited, while sharing us, and then the police show up. And so we're just like, "Oh my God." The police show up, they tell us, "It was super nice, you guys can't do this. You need to go home, take the fireworks away." They were so gracious to us. And so we're like, okay, yeah, so we get in the car, and we leave. So we would have went home, but we didn't. We drove to another park. And we got back home, unloaded all the fireworks, started to take them off again. We're like, "Yes, this is cool." All the kids were excited. And we show up again. Well, this time, we've already happened one time, so now we're a little bit more on edge, and everybody's like scattering and running to their cars. And my kids are just kind of like, "What is going on?" You know, we're just telling them, like, "We're going to go see about these amazing fireworks." We didn't tell them that they were illegal. So we get in the car, and we think that we learned, but we didn't. We went to another park. This time we're like, we all jump in the cars and we're like texting each other, "Cool, we're going to meet you here." So we drive down the road, we go to another park, pick up the fireworks again. actually celebrating. This time, the younger heart keeps trying, like we're getting quicker about, like, that wasn't me, it wasn't me. Running to our car, looking back, guilty. And so we get in the car the third time, and my son, Sergio, says, "Mom, why do the police keep coming? Why do we keep leaving and going to different places?" And I was like, "Son, because we have illegal fireworks. We're not supposed to have these. It's against the law." You know what my son says to me? He says, "Mom, I thought we were good Christian people. We don't put the law on." The breath left my life. And I said, "We are. They're not." So I said, "Let's go home." So I'm going to have the one to drop the fireworks, who will remain nameless, and I am the friend. And I'm telling my son, "We are the good Christian people. They're not good Christian people. Let's go home." See, that's funny, right? It's a funny story. But the reality is that's the old life. That was the old life, enjoying the 4th of July, not even considering or thinking about what I was teaching my kids and my responsibility as a born-again believer. You know what? God doesn't mind that we celebrate. He doesn't mind that we're having a good time. He's not trying to keep us from having a good time, but listen, I'm a born-again believer in Jesus Christ who died and gave his life for me. So I don't celebrate things the way the world does. I don't celebrate the way my old life taught me to celebrate. There's a new way I do things. And so that's just like a little example of how much the old life tries to come back into our life, to this new birth, this new life, this new creation life that we have. Sometimes things you do things, you respond and you wonder, like, why did I just say that? Why did I ask this way? Why did these things come out of me? And we get discouraged and we get frustrated. We see here that Nicodemus is having this conversation with Jesus, and he is struggling to understand. He repeatedly asks Jesus, "What do you mean? What are you talking about? How can this be?" Now, there's a few things that John, the book of John, tells us about Nicodemus. Before we go on, let's look at what it tells us. It tells us, number one, that Nicodemus was a Jew. And we know that he was a man. At that time, to be born as a man was good, because women didn't have the same privileges. So not only was he a man, but he was a Jew. And he was a leader of leaders. That means that he had judicial authority. He came and spoke into culture and what was happening in his time. He was preferred over others. If he was a Jew and a leader of leaders, he was wealthy. He had money. People served him. When he traveled and went from town to town, there were people that left before him to go and prepare the way for him so that he would be comfortable when he arrived. That's the kind of life that Nicodemus lived. And here he is, listening to Jesus and asking Jesus some questions, and Jesus tells him that you must be born again. Now, can you see why Nicodemus might have a problem with what Jesus is saying? Wait a minute. My life is a good life. Why would I need to be born again? I've already been born. I'm a grown man, and I'm living a good life. I'm living a good life teaching the ways of God. And Jesus said, no, you have to let that life go. You can't bring that life into the new life and live the kingdom life. Jesus told him, you can't bring that in here. So let's go back to John chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 4. And it says, we're going to read it in the Message version because it just, I feel like, well, get this idea of what this means. And Nicodemus says, how can anyone be born who has already been born and grown up? You can't reach into your mother's womb and be born again. What are you saying with this born from above talk? Jesus said, you're not listening. He said, Nicodemus, you're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind covering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, it is not possible to enter God's kingdom. When you look at a baby, it's just a body that you can look at and touch, but the person who takes the kid within is formed by something you can't see and touch, the spirit, and becomes a living spirit. And so what Jesus is describing here is what the new birth is. So Nicodemus is saying, I don't understand. I'm already a grown man. I can't go back into my mother's womb. So what is it that you're talking about? And Jesus is telling him that the first birth is a flesh birth. It brings out a baby. It's a baby that you can touch and you can see. But the second birth is not like the first birth. It is a spiritual birth. It's one that you don't see with your eyes. And it takes knowing that God created the heavens and the earth, right? The same God that created the earth, the heavens, he spoke with his mouth. But you trust and believe that he is creating a new life for you today. Something that happens in your spirit, you don't see it with your eyes. So trust is involved here. To be born again, again, and again, you have to trust God. You have to trust that the same God that created the heaven and the earth is the God that gives you that spiritual birth, that makes you a new creation, that transforms you. Nicodemus said, what do you mean by this? How does this happen? Jesus said, you are a respected teacher of Israel, and you don't know these basics. You don't know these basics. You are a respected teacher of Israel. You've been serving God for 20 years, and you're still struggling to let go of the old life. You're still addicted to nicotine. You're still walking torn when nobody else is around. You've been serving God for 20 years, and you still don't know the basics. You still haven't grasped the basics. Jesus told Nicodemus, you're not listening. Some of us have not been listening. We skipped over the basics, and we want the kingdom life. But we won't build the foundation to build the kingdom life on. Jesus said, unless you're born again, and you continue to be born again, you will not see the kingdom. You will not see the kingdom. So Jesus said, I'm speaking sober truth to you. I speak only what I know by experience. I give witness only to what I have seen with my own eyes. There is nothing secondhand here. No hearsay. Yet instead of facing the evidence and accepting it, you procrastinate with questions. Instead of facing it and accepting it, we procrastinate. But you don't know what I've done through. But you don't know how hard it is to me. But you don't know what I've experienced. But God, why did I have to go through that? But God, why did my mom do this? But God, why did my dad do this? But God, why did this happen? We procrastinate because we keep going back to the old life. We keep looking and having questions about the old life. And Jesus is saying, I need you to face it and accept it so that you can have the kingdom life. Stop procrastinating. He says, if I tell you these things that are plain and they're as plain as they can be before your face, and you don't believe me. What use is there in telling you of things you can't see, the things of God? You see, we want the things of God, right? We want the things of God in our life. And we're putting it out there on social media, we're putting it out there that, man, I said, God blesses me, God does this for me. And inside, we're broken. We're bound. We continue to go back to the same dirt over and over again. We're hiding it. We're full of shame. And we're tired. And God says, it's right here in front of you. This is the basic. If you don't build this basic foundation in your life, you're not going to build the kingdom for your life. You can't. So Nicodemus, he was born with a great blessed life, right? So you can kind of understand why it would be a problem for him. You know what? I relate to the fact that he had a problem with understanding, why do I have to let go of my first life? Or better this way, how do I let go of my first life? How? You see, my first life, my first birth experience really sucked. And that's a nice way of expressing it. It was literally a nightmare. I was born in a Christian home, with a Christian family, born again believer. My dad was a pastor of the church. And I loved God. I loved the Bible. I loved going to church. I was taught school through the Bible. Everything that was my life. We didn't cut our hair. We didn't wear, it was a religious Pentecostal, strict church. But I say that to say, like, I wasn't really exposed to the world and the things of the world. All I knew was God and the Bible. But the problem was, is that at nighttime, the father that I loved so much was coming into my room at night and doing things to me that he should not have been doing. And I don't even know how old I was when this happened. As far back as my memory goes, it was happening. Later on in life, I was maybe like 9 or 10 years old, I went to my mom and told her. And the response that I got from my mom was not to tell anyone. A little bit later, I went to her again and told her a second time. The second time, I told her she hit me and told her never to tell anyone. So I had to go outside of my home to get help. And I finally got the courage to do that. And once that did, it set in motion this roller coaster, and things seemed to only get worse. They didn't get better. My dad ended up divorcing my mom, and at that time, my mom started to treat me differently. She was angry with me. She would cuss at me. She would hit me with frying pans. She would use electric cords to spank me. She would burn me with an iron. She did some horrible things, and I didn't know why. I didn't understand. It wasn't maybe until I was 17 years old that I realized that my mom knew from the beginning what my dad was doing. And she chose to stay with my dad over protecting him. My mom chose to allow those things to happen to me and not stand up for me, defend me, or protect me. So she was angry. She was cheated because my dad is the one who left her. And so she started to treat me differently because she blamed me. She never verbally said that to me, but she treated me that way. Later, I'm almost 20, in my 20s, and I realized, I thought that I had a loving relationship with my mom, and what I realized was that something is wrong with my mom. She's mentally ill. She's not okay. She doesn't function like a normal human being does. So the reality of this first birth and how I was raised by a woman who was mentally ill and a man who, too, had mental problems, but he had the capacity to do some of the things that he did to me. Don't you know that that impacted my life? It impacted my thoughts, it impacted my dreams, it impacted my desires, it impacted the way I saw myself, or how I thought people saw me. That was my first birth. And that's the birth that Christ tells me that I have to let go of so that I can be born again. That first life taught me a lot. It taught me that people are liars. It taught me that because my mom wouldn't protect me, that no one is going to protect me. So I have to protect myself. Taught me that if I want to go anywhere in life, I don't have the support of my parents. Nobody's going to support me. I have to support me. That's what it taught me. I brought those thoughts, those ideas, and those perceptions into my newborn life. Into my new life. But the Word tells us to put off the old life. Why? Because it corrupts. It's corruptible. The old life corrupts your new life. Jesus is trying to convene it. You want the kingdom of God, well, you can't bring your old life into the newborn life. You can't have both and experience the kingdom of God. You have to let the old life go. You have to take it off. And that's what born again means. It means that this is continual, again and again, awakening every day and saying, God, I thank you that I am no longer who I was. And I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. And it's been your gift of your Son Jesus that I have the power to choose this new life, to live in this new life. And it doesn't mean that he's asking for perfection because I still make mistakes every day. Because now I see through the eyes of my new birth, I understand and know that God does not treat me the way my mother and my father treated me. But he doesn't do to me the things that I experienced in my first birth, and I don't have to run and hide or protect myself, that God will do that for me. That he will cover me when I mess up. That he will restore me when I need to be restored. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of confessing Christ and not experiencing Christ on the inside. I'm tired. It's exhausting. I've lived many years and it's taken me a while to understand it. Jesus told her to do this. You cannot bring your first birth into your second birth. How many of you have thought at times, I thought that I was done? I thought that I was healed from this. I thought that I had forgiven this person, and now I'm seeing them again, and all of a sudden these things are rising up inside of me, and I'm having crazy thoughts again. When I thought I forgave them. Or somebody that you wronged, and they've forgiven you, and then they start to treat you bad again, and you think, but I thought they forgave me. Clearly they did it, because I'm feeling it. How many of you experienced that? Where you think, like, prophecy behind you, but it keeps coming back in. You see, look at me like you were comfortable with the first birth life. I too was comfortable with that first birth life, not because I wanted it, but because I was there for a long time. I was there for a long time, and it was difficult. It was comfortable for me. I was familiar with that way of thinking, perceiving, and living. Nicodemus wanted to protect that first birth life. You know, one of my dreams was to be a mom. It was something that I wanted so badly. I did not have a good relationship with my mom. She never loved me the way a mother was supposed to love. Like, you know, it took me being around other people and having relationships with other people to see, like, there's something not right here between me and my mom. And so I realized, like, there's something that I'm still supposed to experience. And I wanted to experience that. And it just was such a strong desire inside of me. And I remember when Sergio was born, and he was a little baby, and I was lying in my room with him, and he was next to me. And I was just crying before the Lord, and just asking God, oh God, how am I going to be his mother? How am I going to protect him? How am I going to raise him the right way? Because I never had a mother. I don't know what it means and how it feels to be a godly mom. And I want to give that to my son, but how can I give him something I've never had? The reality of the fact that I couldn't change who I was became more real when I had my own child there. So every time I opened scripture and I read scripture, I didn't read it through the eyes of being born again. I read it through the eyes of my first birth. Every time I prayed to God, I prayed, God, heal me of my pain. God, take away my past. It was never prayers that had trust is God, the Creator, that He was creating a new life in me. I was gripped by the old life. I was consumed with my thoughts of the old life. Instead of waking up every day again and again and putting on the dress of God, I was putting on the glasses that showed my old life. And I looked through that and saw the Word and the Spirit and the promise. That's the struggle. The struggle is between the old life and the new life. But in the middle of that is a promise. It's a promise that God is a God of honor, of truth, of love, and He sacrificed His Son for you. It's a gift. So, there's been times where I thought, like, when I change, when I become better, I'll be able to experience some of the things that I've seen in the Word. I wasn't listening. It's that disappointment thing that you're not listening. You've been serving me for a long time, and you don't understand the basic truth. And that's why, as a Christian, as a born-again believer that confesses Christ, you are still bound. You are still broken. You are still hurting. You are tired because you are carrying the weight of your old life and you're trying to live a kingdom life. But it doesn't mix. It doesn't go together. You have to make that transition and be transformed into the new life. That morning when I lay there with my child, Sylvia, my firstborn, in the bed, and I'm crying out to God, I opened my Bible. And I opened my Bible to Matthew. You can put that up on the board for me. Matthew, chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. And this is what I read. It says, I'm baptizing you here in the river. I'm turning your old life into a kingdom life. This is John the Baptist. And he begins to say, the real action comes next. But it's not me. But it's the one who's going to act in me that I want you to know about. The main character in this drama, compared to him, I am a mere stage hand. He will ignite the kingdom life within me. A fire within me. The Holy Spirit within you, cleaning you from the inside out. He's going to clean house. He's going to make a clean sweep of your life, and He'll put everything through in its proper place before God, and everything false will put out with false rebirth. Is this not a powerful promise? It's so descriptive. I lay there in my bed saying, gosh, how am I going to love my son? I have answered him. He said, it's not you, but it's me inside. I'm going to take everything that's broken, everything that's wrong, all the entrance from the first birth, I'm going to remove that. I'm going to straighten the crooked places. I'm going to give you a kingdom life. Christians, believers, we base our living, our life, our confession, our scripture on the Bible, right? It's what we base our life off of. Yet some of us have still not made it a priority to read and understand the Word. We make excuses and we say, I don't have time, or I don't know where to start. It's too hard to understand. Let me tell you, you need to come out of agreement with those statements. You need to stop thinking that way. That is the first birth thinking. We say things like, you know, God knows my heart. He does know your heart. You know what He knows? That you don't put Him first. That you're not willing to make Him a priority yet. And again, this is not a condemning message. This is a reality that I've walked through. This is a prayer that I've prayed before the Lord, and I've continued to walk out over the years and have gotten stronger and better and better. And it has just been a question for me. it's a passion, but I want to be a voice to hopefully ignite something inside of you to realize that I too am living a life that I'm confessing Christ, but I'm not experiencing kingdom life inside of me. I want that to change for you. God wants that to change for you. He doesn't want you to live a life confused, empty, broken, and wandering. He wants you to be secure. He wants you to be confident. He wants you to trust that He created the heavens and the earth and that He's creating a new life for you every day. Amen? What I needed to do was to shift from my old life and focus on the new life. But I focused on my feelings, I focused on my goals, I focused on my dreams, my abilities, the things that I overcome, the sacrifices I have made. Sometimes my prayers will even sound like this. God has served you for such a long time. I've done this for you, God. I've been faithful to you, God. I've saved my time, Lord. When am I going to see this promise come through? Those have been my prayers at times. And God says, you're not listening. You're not listening. You still identify with your first life, your first birth. I want you to be born again and again. And again, and again. It's not a one-time experience that so many of us have experienced, and we've tried to move on from there, but we've stayed stuck. We've not grown spiritually. We're not producing. We're not sharing the gospel with others. We don't have the courage to share the gospel. We don't have the courage to say that God can heal or pray for people because we're not familiar with a new life. The Bible is written from God for us. Yet why do we not take the time to read the Word and to put ourselves up? Jesus said you must be born of water and spirit. The water speaks of the Word. The Word is what washes us and cleanses us. You know, a lot of us are like, yeah, I'm struggling. I keep going through the same things. I don't know what else to do. I've tried everything. We say things like, oh, I'm praying. Sometimes I'll ask people when I'm counseling them, well, I'm like, how's your prayer? Oh, I'm praying. But it's not working. You know, a lot of times we don't realize that this relationship with God is a two-way relationship. We talk to God in our prayers, and we hear the voice of God in His Word. But a lot of us are praying and we're not reading any Word. It's a two-way thing. You know, God does speak to me sometimes when I'm praying, but 99.9% of the time when I hear the voice of God, it's because I have a book open and I'm reading it over and over and over again. But we refuse to make it a priority to be in the Word of God, to make it part of our new birth life. You can't live a kingdom life without it. But most of us, when we say that we're born again, we're talking about the fact that we've made a confession that we have not continued to become again and again the way Jesus told Nicodemus to be. When I finally shifted, when I finally realized that I have to stop going back to my old life, my confidence started to change. My confidence left myself. It started to become a confidence that was built in God. That is what helped me break the cycle, the corruption of my first birth. You know, it tries to come back. My first birth experience, sometimes in my relationship with my husband, he may say or do something, and it will trigger a memory. And sometimes it's taken in my subconscious, and I don't even realize it's there. But that's how much that first, that experience has affected me, that I go right back. I go right back in my thinking, and I don't even realize it. My thinking goes back to the first place thinking, like, this man won't love me. He is going to lie to me. He's going to cheat. He's going to betray me. And I have to protect myself from him. I have to be careful. And these walls that come up. I just want to start working with him. And then I get scared. That's the cycle that we live in. Where we go right back to the old one. And that's why it's important that we understand as believers. Part of this church, what we want to build are disciples who understand what it means to be born again. That you can talk about it, that you can be about it, that you can live it, that you can bear the fruit of it. So that when you have those moments where you're triggered back to the past and you respond to the past, because it's who I am, the next morning I'm going to wake up and spend time with God, and I'm going to let God tell me about myself. My daughter, you went back again. You went back again. That's not what I want for you. That's not where I want you to live. I want you to come back. And sometimes I feel like, yeah, but God, when are you going to deal with those things? And God says, but I need you to come back. That's where the trust comes. Where I have to trust, even though I can't see it with my eyes. I can't feel it in my heart. I have to trust that God is good, that His plan for me is good, and that He wants me to live an abundant life, and that He gave Sergio a gift to me. He's going to take care of Sergio. I don't have to remind God to take care of Sergio. He's going to take care of him. And God's going to take care of me. We should value the gift that God has given us. The Bible says that it is by grace that we have been saved. It is a gift of God. Grace means unmerited favor, so we don't deserve it. There's nothing that we can do to ever deserve what God, what Christ Jesus has done for us. It's a gift. So number one, we have to start with understanding and valuing the gift of being born again, and that we continue to become born again every day. That we continue to pursue our relationship with God. That we understand that it's praying and reading. You know, a lack of prayer and a lack of reading your word means that you are going to continue to live the unrenewed mind. You're going to continue to think with an unrenewed mind. There's no other way. I mean, you can come to church for 20 years and hear a great message with revelation, with fresh revelation every Sunday for 20 years. And if you don't pick up the Bible yourself and start to read, start to get into that book, and spend time conversating with God, you will not be transformed. Nobody can do it for you. You have to do that part. But some of us are so bound and consumed with our first life, we have no room or space to be born again, to live a born again life. It can be frustrating, it can be discouraging. But the answer is that Jesus can and will do it for you. Let's go to Romans, my last scripture. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25 in the message. It says, I can anticipate the response that is coming. I know that all God's commands are spiritual, but I am not. Isn't this also your experience? Yes, I am full of myself. After all, I've spent a long time in this new prison. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another. Doing things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. What's that need to be born again? And again. And again. To continue to be born again. But I need something more, for if I know the law, but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, obviously, too many of you could say that sometimes that you feel like you sabotage your own life. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to be good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to be bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in action. Something has gone wrong due to things, and this is better than every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commandments, but it's pretty obvious that not all of you do it in after life. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. And at the end of my rope, is there no one who can help? Is there no one who can do anything for me? That's the real question. But here's the answer. Thank God, it is Jesus Christ, that He cares and He does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but I'm pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. The answer is this. It's that through Jesus Christ, you can and will be born again and experience the kingdom of God in your life. It's not the life that you want to live. The born again life, I'm tired. I'm tired of going back. I want to keep moving forward. You know, I found this study that was done by Christian scientists. And it talks about the power of four. And what this study is on is about understanding how reading the Bible affects your life and how frequently you read the Bible. And so they interviewed 40,000 Christians, confessing born again believers, and answered several questions. And they, through that, found that the Christians who confessed to be born again, who read their Bible at least three times a week, did not experience more freedom than a Christian who read their Bible. That's shocking. Think about that for a minute. There's a lot of people who confess to be Christians and do not read their Bibles. They don't read their Bibles. They're praying. They're posting all the kingdom life stuff. They're talking about, you know, God doing all this, but they're on the inside, they're messed up. And they don't ever read the Word. And then there are some who are encouraged and are experiencing some good things in their life. And they say that they read their Bible at least three times a week. But what this study found is that the Christian, the born-again believer, who says that they read their scripture at least four times or more a week, lasts changes. The first, I don't have time. I wanted to read through it, but I don't have time to read through it. I will post this on Facebook, so you can read it yourself. I think it's a good idea. You should read it. It talks about the impact of being in your Word at least four times or more a week. And the percentages are alarming. The percentages are alarming. Of those who read their Bible three times or less a week, that those people are struggling with pornography. They're struggling with addiction. They're going out on the weekends and getting drunk. They're smoking weed. They're cheating on their husbands and their wives. They're not living a born-again life. God said, through Jesus, you must be born again. That first birth, it has to go. It's a new way. It's a new life. And you have to trust me to experience that new life. It's not anything that you do that's wrong that gives you this new life. It's your trust in me, coming to me, having a two-way relationship with me, being purified by the breath of God, is hearing the voice of God. When you hear the voice of God, it purifies you. But if you're not reading scripture, you're not hearing the voice of God. How many Christians are living who are born again and never hear the voice of God? That's so simple about just opening your Bible and reading it. But we will read self-help books. We'll read about this person's experience. We'll repost this thing that's been posted on social media. We'll listen to this message by this person, and we'll repeat what they said, like it's our revelation, but God never said that to us. You live the kingdom life. You experience the kingdom life by again and again continuing to come before the Lord, reading His Word, spending time with Him, making a priority, and receiving a gift that He gives to you.
Hey everybody, Pastor Sergio here, and we just want to thank you for tuning in to our podcast. Make sure you check us out next week as we continue this series.